Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Yeah, we've all had those neighbors, the ones that make you wonder, like, how did they get through life this long?
Right. Like, did no one ever teach them basic courtesy?
Exactly. But the situation you shared, this goes way beyond leaving the recycling bin overflowing.
Oh, this is serious stuff. When I read your notes, I was like, wow, this is intense.
To put it mildly, it started with some clutter in the hallway, which, annoying, sure, but then it just spiraled.
It's like that saying, if I had a nickel for every time, but instead of a nickel, it's a problem, a bigger problem each time.
And this neighbor seems to have an endless supply of nickels.
Sadly, it's not uncommon for seemingly small issues to escalate like this. There's actually a theory in sociology.
Hit me with it.
It's called broken windows theory, and it basically suggests that when people see signs of disorder, even small ones, they're more likely to engage in more serious bad behavior.
So you're saying, like, if someone sees a broken window, they're more likely to break another one. Or in this case, leave a pile of junk in the hallway because, well, there's already some junk there.
It's not about condoning the behavior, but it's about understanding the mindset. That initial disregard for shared space can create a slippery slope.
And this neighbor, he took that slope and went for a ride.
Yeah, and it sounds like he picked up speed along the way, especially with that incident with the dog.
Okay, we have to talk about that. Even reading the notes, it was tough. Hearing someone yell at their pet is awful enough, but to actually hurt them.
It's heartbreaking, and it's a huge red flag. Animal abuse is never okay, and it often goes hand in hand with other forms of violence and aggression.
And it seems like in this case, that's exactly what happened. The abuse toward the dog was just the beating.
And sadly, it follows a pattern we see often, a pattern called the cycle of violence.
Okay, break that down for me.
So it often starts with tension building, like a pressure cooker. It might be subtle at first, but the anger or frustration is there, simmering beneath the surface.
So in our listener's case, that would be the clutter in the hallway, the disregard for shared space.
Exactly. It's like a warning sign that things aren't right. And then, boom, you have the incident, the explosion of anger, the abuse towards the dog in this case.
Okay, so that's the tension building and the incident. What comes next?
Ideally, there would be some sort of reconciliation, an attempt to make amends, maybe even a brief honeymoon period where things seem calm.
But I'm guessing, based on the listener's story, that didn't happen here.
Not even close. Instead of taking responsibility or showing remorse, it sounds like the neighbor doubled down, going straight to retaliation.
Retaliation, as in he was trying to punish the listener for, what, witnessing the abuse?
It's a way to control the situation, to silence any opposition, and make it clear that he's in charge.
And he certainly tried to make that clear. With the trash dumping, the late-night confrontations, it's like he's trying to terrorize the listener into silence.
And that's a truly terrifying part. When those attempts at intimidation escalate, like that detail about hearing someone messing with the door lock, I got chills just reading that.
Yeah, and the listener suspects it was the neighbor. Can you imagine? That feeling of being unsafe in your own home.
It's a violation, a complete breach of trust and security. And then there's the girlfriend.
Right. The listener mentioned seeing bruises, and it's clear she's scared. That adds a whole other layer of complexity and concern to an already awful situation.
Absolutely. Because now you're not just dealing with a nightmare neighbor. You're potentially witnessing a pattern of abuse that extends to someone else. It's a heavy burden to carry, knowing someone might be in danger.
It makes you feel powerless, right? Like, what can you do? The listener did what most of us would probably do. They called the police, not once, but twice.
And unfortunately, that's where things get even more complicated.
Right. You'd think calling the police would be the answer, a straightforward solution.
Because honestly, when you hear a story like this, your first thought is someone needs to stop this guy.
Exactly. But the reality is, it's often more complicated than that. Okay, so what makes these neighbor disputes so tricky for law enforcement? Why can't they just, you know, swoop in and save the day?
Well, there's often this misconception that what happens within someone's apartment is their business, a private matter.
Even when it involves potential abuse, like with the dog and possibly the girlfriend.
It can be a gray area, unfortunately. And then even when the police do get involved, their options are often limited.
In what way?
Take noise complaints, for example. Those are notoriously difficult to enforce, especially in apartment buildings where sound carries.
Okay, sure, but this goes way beyond a late night party or a barking dog. We're talking about trash dumping, potential tampering with a door lock. That's serious stuff.
Absolutely. But even then, proving intent can be a major hurdle.
What do you mean?
Without clear evidence, like video footage or witnesses willing to testify, it often becomes a he said, she said situation.
So even though this neighbor's behavior is outrageous, the law doesn't always have the tools to step in.
Unfortunately, that's the case sometimes. And it's incredibly frustrating for everyone involved, especially the person living through it.
Talk about feeling stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what can our listener do in this situation? Besides, you know, investing in a good set of earplugs and a steel door.
Well, the first and most crucial step is documentation. Think of it like this. You need to be your own detective.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Every incident, every detail, write it down. Date, time, what happened, who was involved.
So, like, if he decides to empty his trash bin in the hallway at 3 a.m., you whip out a notepad and jot that down.
You got it. And if possible, take photos or videos. Visual evidence can be incredibly powerful.
Okay, so we're talking about becoming an amateur detective in our own homes. Got it. What else?
Next, get the landlord or building management involved. And I can't stress this enough, put it in writing.
Emails, letters, official complaints. Basically, create a paper trail you can follow.
Precisely. This paper trail demonstrates that you're taking the situation seriously, and it puts the landlord on notice that they need to step in and ensure a safe and habitable environment for all tenants.
So when you say safe and habitable, what does that actually mean in a situation like this?
It means addressing legitimate safety concerns, like potential harassment or property damage. It could involve enforcing building rules like quiet hours or regulations about, say, hallway obstructions.
Makes sense. You have a right to expect that your living space isn't being compromised by someone else's behavior.
Exactly. And going back to that detail you mentioned about the door lock, that's a major red flag.
Yeah, it's scary to even think about.
If you ever feel like your safety is being directly threatened, contact the police immediately.
And I'm guessing in a situation like this, having some sort of security camera footage wouldn't hurt, right?
It can definitely be helpful, both as a deterrent and as potential evidence. Check your building's policies, but it's worth considering.
Okay, so let's say you've done all that. You've documented everything, you've contacted the landlord, you've involved the police when necessary. But nothing changes. The neighbor keeps at it. What are your options then?
If the situation continues to deteriorate, you might have to consider more formal legal avenues.
Like taking legal action against the neighbor.
It's not ideal, but sometimes it's the only way to protect yourself.
I can imagine that comes with a whole other set of challenges.
It's not easy, but you do have rights. Depending on the situation, you might explore filing a restraining order or pursuing a civil lawsuit.
It's easy for someone on the outside to say, just move. But that's not always feasible or fair. You shouldn't be forced out of your own home because of someone else's behavior.
You're right. It shouldn't be on the victim to uproot their life. And that brings up a really important point, the role of community in situations like this.
Because it shouldn't take a village to stand up to a bully.
Right.
Right? It's like that saying, it takes a village.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that hard to just, you know, be a decent neighbor.
Exactly. And sometimes just knowing someone else sees what's happening, that it's not okay, can give someone the courage to take that next step.
It's like sending a message, not just to the person causing harm, but to the person being harmed, that they're not alone, that people care.
Right. It can make a world of difference.
This whole situation is really a wake-up call. You know, it's easy to brush off those neighbor from hell stories.
Yeah.
But when you really dive in, it gets real, real fast.
Absolutely. It reminds us that we need to be aware to understand the dynamics at play and to be proactive in addressing these situations.
Because everyone deserves to feel safe at home. That's not a lot to ask.
It's a basic human right, and it's something we should all be striving for, both for ourselves and for those around us.
For our listener who's been going through all of this, just know you're incredibly strong for sharing your story, and you deserve support. Keep advocating for yourself, and remember, you're not alone.
And for everyone listening, let this be a reminder. We can all play a role in creating safer communities. If you see something, say something. Sometimes that simple act of courage can make all the difference.
That's a powerful message to end on. This has been an intense deep dive, and I think we all learned a lot.
I agree. It's definitely giving us all a lot to think about.
As always, thanks for lending your expertise to this conversation and for helping us navigate this complex issue.
It's been my pleasure. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us for another deep dive. Until next time, stay safe and informed.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.